KGMZ FM and HD1 and KGMZ San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Gianna, thank you as always. A wonderful 5 before 5. It is now our 5 o'clock hour. We're coming to you from the Guardsman Tree Lot down here at Fort Mason. We're in the Festival Pavilion. And if you're looking for all the holiday cheer that you could strap on top of your car and bring back to your living room, believe me, we got it for you. All the Christmas trees, garlands, wreath, decorations, lights, everything that you would need for a great holiday cheer in your own house, we have for you here. All proceeds go to fund at-risk youth here in the Bay Area. This is an established charity since 1947. I'm proud to be part of it. We're proud to be doing our fifth straight tree lot remote. It really is good to have you down here. Come on by. We are on the air until 7 o'clock, and we are open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day between now and next Friday. So perfect. If you have not gotten your Christmas tree, this is the perfect place to do it. Let me tell you, Dante Pettis is now in the perfect place in his career. He's getting more reps than ever, and he is showing us more than ever as a rookie wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. His role is now increasing by the game. It's that time where we're going to step inside the Niners locker room to talk to a player. And we already said hello to Dante Pettis earlier this year. He was such a great conversation. We wanted to have him back, especially with him now more involved than ever before. Dante, it is good to have you back on the show. How you doing, young man?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm doing good. It's good to be back on the show.
Yeah, good to have you back. Thanks so much for joining us. How was that trip to Seattle for you? I know that it wasn't the win that you guys wanted, but it felt like a little bit of a college homecoming for you. You played excited to be there.
Yeah, no. I mean, it was cool to go back and everything. Obviously, like you said, I wish I would have had the win. The loss kind of overshadowed things, but I mean, I loved my 4 years in Seattle, so it was pretty special to go back there.
It was cool to see you have a career high in catches, in yards, and in touchdowns all in the same game. Again, a 129. What's the fourth most by a rookie and the most since any rookie as a wide receiver in a 49er uniform since Jerry Rice? Your 4 touchdowns now on the season are the most by a Niner rookie wide receiver since Terrell Owens. And look, Dante, I don't know that much about football, but you as a wide receiver, you should try to get yourself on as many lists with Terrell Owens and Jerry Rice as you can.
Yeah, those aren't too bad of names to go along with.
Yeah, it really is. Does it feel like your rookie season is going past you slowly, or is it going speed of light?
I mean, it's going by pretty fast, I think, especially because, I missed about a few games in the middle of the year. So that kind of speeds things up. When you look at it, I feel like we've been playing for a long time, but, it doesn't really, when you don't really feel that way, I guess.
Dante Pettis of the San Francisco 49ers, rookie receiver, joining us here. Like you said, you missed a little time in the middle of this season. When you were down and rehabbing, what did you do? And in some ways, were those weeks away from the field part of the reason why you're looking so good now that you're back out there?
So when I was hurt, I mean, really the biggest thing that I could do that would help me the most was just to rest my knee. So it was tough because it wasn't like I pulled my hamstring or something where you rolled your ankle, you can do a bunch of rehab and all that stuff. They were saying rest was just the best thing for it. So, that's what I was trying to do. And I mean, I do think the time off helped a lot because, I wasn't feeling 100%. So once I came back and I was 100%, then it was like, okay, now I can, play the way that I want to play. I feel how I want to. And so, I do think that helped a lot.
I tell you, you know, it's obvious this season will never be filed under 100% based on the injuries that have come through and trying to watch just this year for Niner fans. It's been a long year, but it's hard not to think about how this could have all eventually fit together. And that's Jimmy Garoppolo, Jarrett McKinnon, Kittle, Breida, Goodwin, McGlinchey, and you. I mean, you are now revealing yourself, I think, as the player that everyone hoped was drafted early by the Niners. Do you just feel better now, more accomplished, more comfortable here, you know, 12 weeks into your year as opposed to when we talked to you, I think, before the Minnesota game?
Yeah. I think we're kind of in a, you know, a place where everybody wants just instant results. And when it doesn't happen, people are like, they don't know that, you know, you might have to wait a little bit. So when something doesn't go right, you know, right away, when someone doesn't produce right away, they're like, okay, well, obviously he wasn't the right draft pick, or obviously he, you know, we shouldn't have signed him or traded for him or whatever. But I mean, some things take a little bit of time to pick up. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on at the beginning of the year, and the more I've played, the more I've kind of become comfortable with the offense, playing against, you know, NFL DBs and all that stuff. And so I think it just took a little bit of time. And, you know, now that we're in week whatever, 12, 13, whatever now, you know, now I definitely do feel a lot more comfortable and kind of ready to go.
Are you modeling your game after any other player's game? Is there someone whose film you watch to pick up their tendencies?
Yeah, there's a lot of people's film I watch. I love watching Doug Baldwin, Keenan Allen, Odell. Like I like watching those guys, their releases, the way they run their routes. I try to pick a lot of things from them.
I tell you, we have a weekly conversation with Hall of Fame wide receiver Michael Irvin, and he's been watching you and your tape and says, man, this kid is a real player. And not only do you look more and more comfortable, but you're getting your timing down, which is very tough to do when you're already on your third quarterback of the year. How difficult has it been to adjust to three different guys, three different arms, three different maybe levels of the playbook?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of looked at it as you can't worry about who's going to throw you the ball, really. I mean, the quarterback has a job and the receiver has a job. The quarterback has to throw you the ball and the receiver has to catch the ball, pretty much. That's pretty much, you know, what it boils down to. And so when you can't really get caught up in specifics of, oh, I'm on my third quarterback or whatever, because they're expecting you to run your route a certain way and you're expecting them to throw the ball a certain way. So as long as you trust the guy that's in there, I don't really think it's a problem. I don't really think you have to work on all that chemistry and stuff like that.
It's funny, you know, so many players talk to us about how complicated this all gets for you to just be like, look, they throw it, I catch it, doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter who I am. That just kind of needs to happen to make this all work. We're talking with Dante Pettis, 49er rookie receiver. Dante, obviously, you got so many NCAA punt return records next to your name. A lot of fans want to know, why aren't you returning punts right now for the Niners?
To be honest, there's a few reasons. I think the first one was, you know, I dropped those two punts early in the year. And so once that happened, I mean, and I was hurt, so Richie was in. Richie was doing a really good job. So they couldn't just, you know, bench Richie when he has been playing really well back there. And then the fact that I started playing more on offense, and we were down to four receivers, you know, the last 2 weeks. And so, you know, if I'm back there and I get hurt, then we're down to one receiver, and then people have to switch their positions and all that stuff. So I think there's a, you know, a lot of things going into that whole decision.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the depth chart is playing into the decision whether or not to use you on special teams. In a perfect world, are you returning punts in the NFL? is that something you want to do, or are you starting to look at it like, hey, man, I'm a receiver. I'm an XYZ, and XYZ receivers, they don't return punts.
No, I love returning punts. In a perfect world, if I could do it, doesn't get me too tired and all that stuff. I would love to do it. It's another chance to get your hands on the ball and make a play. That's something that I love doing, and I always have loved to do. And so, yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, I would be back there. But, there's a lot of things that happen that, play into that whole thing.
Absolutely. And look, you know an awful lot about how many things go into what makes up a professional athlete. You grew up in a family. Your dad, a professional athlete. For those who don't know, third base coach for the Houston Astros, Gary Pettis, is your father. And obviously, look, that was a tough loss to the Red Sox this October. Quiet offseason for the Astros so far. Have you told them to check out Madison Bumgarner here in San Francisco?
No, I mean, I've been so caught up in this season, I haven't paid much attention to their off season and what they're doing. My dad tells me a few things, what goes on, or my mom will say something about it. But for the most part, honestly, I haven't really seen anything that's been going on in their off season.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dante, there's no doubt that the 49ers listens to these interviews, and that is the correct answer, young man. Congratulations. Well done. Well said. Can we talk about the hair? The hair, it looked like the color was fading a little bit, but it came back. Was that for the Huskies in the Pac-12 title game?
Yeah, absolutely. It faded out a little. You have to fade it to – I have to let it fade out to dye it another color. And so the plan was to go purple all along. And so, got a lot of love for the University of Washington, and just a little shout-out to them.
Hey, Washington versus Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. You're the kind of guy who can charter a private plane and go on down now. Are you going to go to the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, I don't know about a private plane and all that, but luckily for me, it's only about a 45-minute flight.
There you go.
Back home, so I'll definitely be there.
And look at you making the prudent financial decisions. He's like, I can still fly commercial.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that famous yet, but someday you keep up these games, you will be. Dante, thank you very much for joining us. It was great to talk to you. No matter what you do to your hair, it works. It couldn't work on me. I mean, there's no doubt. There's no way this could not work on me.
No,
there's no way I could pull this off.
It's confidence.
Well, I have a ridiculous, almost unreasonable level of self-confidence. I don't have that kind of confidence. I really, really don't. One of the things that I know is I'm sure I'm not up on cool music. We already asked you once this year. What's the last thing that you bought on iTunes, either an album or a record or a song that was so good you had to buy it?
I got the new 1975 album.
All right. Okay, so I've heard of that band, which makes me feel not so old.
Yeah, no, they're I really like them. It's a little like alternative music, but I think that's the last album I downloaded.
Dude, looking at your hair from Seattle, like you're wired to like a little alt grunge music, aren't you?
Yeah, it didn't really happen until I went out there, but I got tapped in.
There you go. They put the flannel on you, they hand you a coffee, and you can't help it, right?
Exactly.
Hey, Dante, it was great catching up with you again. I know it's been a long year, and you guys got some tough opponents coming up. You'll see Seattle again before too long. You're going to be taking on the Denver Broncos this week. What do you notice as you look at Denver Bronco film? What are you studying? What are you instantly aware of?
I think the thing that jumps out most is their defensive line. Obviously, they got a lot of players on the line that can do some things. And so, just being able to win our matchups on the outside fast so, the quarterback doesn't have to really worry about avoiding any pressure or anything like that. I think that'll be big for us.
Yeah, I got to get the ball out quick. It's going to be you want to talk about a long, long day of work for Mike McGlinchey. He's going to be looking at Von Miller all day, isn't he?
Yeah, that'll be good for him.
or it won't be good for Nick Mullins, one or the other.
No, hey, Mike, I got a lot of faith in Mike.
I do, too. He's fantastic, and he's a great conversation, as are you, Dante. Thanks an awful lot for joining us, man. Wish you the best of luck, best of health the rest of the way, and go Huskies in the Rose Bowl.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Dante Pettis, dude.
I know. He's so fun to talk to, but he sounds so young.
He does sound young. God. So here's the deal. When we talked to him last, he sounded young. Now he sounds young, but even more polished.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's like, this guy is a quick learner. I think you're starting to see that now revealed on the field. And seriously, like, when you talk about where will the fun be for the 49ers, look, I don't know how much fun there's going to be in 2018. As a matter of fact, let me just be the fun police here. I'm going to declare the fun over for the most part. It's already about the future. And that is a reason why you should be a little bit excited about the future. Dante Pettis hopefully is going to be part of a little bit of a speed demon triumvirate. You got Pettis, you've got Breida, you're going to have Jarrett McKinnon, and hopefully this is going to change what has been a frustrating year of football into a better year of football next year. Again, they could have one of the top two picks in the draft. As it is right now, if it ended today, they would have the number one pick in the draft. Thanks so much to Dante Pettis for joining us. We are coming to you live from the tree lot down here at Fort Mason. We've got a little bit more time here before we take a break. Sir, I see you're standing there patiently waiting. I got like 10 more minutes, so pull up a seat and have a drink, because we're still going here. I love when people line up. They're like, doesn't he take commercials? Not really.
No, not a lot. We have long sets.
Not really. So we're just going to keep on chugging here, thanking Dante Pettis for stopping on by. I tell you, the Golden State Warriors last night were up to their old tricks in terms of just looking like themselves again, really putting it on an inferior opponent, maybe waiting a little bit too long into the game to put it on an inferior opponent for your liking. But when it was all said and done, Curry was awesome early. Durant was great late. Klay even contributed a little bit later on throughout the evening as well. And that's probably an intentional thing. I mean, they left Klay on the court longer than they needed to, because Steve Kerr knows he needs to take a little momentum into this Milwaukee game. I think this is going to be a fun one. It's Christmas come early tomorrow. It's got the potential to be what we are all promised on Christmas Day. It actually has potential to be even more exciting than that, because I think I know the outcome to that game. I think the Warriors beat the Lakers handedly on Christmas Day at Oracle Arena. What do you think happens tomorrow night? It's a rare, I don't know. If you told me that the Warriors got clocked by the Bucks again, look, I already saw it happen in Oakland once. If it can happen there, it could certainly happen in their building too. Could certainly happen on a night where we know Draymond Green isn't back on the court, and he will not be back on the court tomorrow night. It's a night where you got destroyed points in the paint against them. Steve Kerr said that they gave up 83 points in the paint. Yeah. Never even saw that number before. Well, you gave up 83 points in the paint, all hands on deck. Damian Jones was playing. Now he's not playing, you know? I mean, so if you told me, yeah, they got beat by Milwaukee tomorrow night, I believe you. I've seen it already happen. If you also told me that they won by 10, I believe you there too. Like, they're that good, and we now have a combination of Curry and Durant that is giving us a level of, like, NBA quality and lethality, which will be good enough to beat anybody, even a team playing in front of a fired-up home crowd in a new building with an MVP candidate like Giannis.
Well, they got beat so bad by them last time, I feel like they have a little bit of that revenge vibe going, that let's get back on track.
Right, and we even had Steve Kerr. I asked him last hour, and we'll replay it for you right as we get into our 6 o'clock hour. I asked Steve straight up, can you even have a revenge game this early in December? And he was like, not really. You know, I mean, he knows. But he said, look, my team has a way of wanting to respond, and I hope that they remember how embarrassed they got, and I hope they take that feeling out on the court with him. Again, Steve was awesome. He'll be by again coming up at 6 o'clock tonight, in case you missed Steve Kerr. Great as always, no doubt about it. there's so much made about what Kevin Durant said after the game, and people are saying, oh my goodness, he's taking shots at LeBron James. This was in a Rick Bucher article from the Bleacher Report. And here's the deal. I don't think that Kevin Durant took shots at LeBron James. I think Kevin Durant opened up his own mind and let you into his own thinking more than he was doing a little thinking for other guys in the league who would like a little advice from me. I think Kevin Durant just right in front of us drew a line right through the city of Los Angeles as not interested in going there.
Lakers are out, pretty much, by what he said. That's what you said.
Yeah, I really do. In an interview with Bleacher Report, Durant basically laid out the case for him not going to L.A. next season to team up with LeBron to find his own version of basketball happiness. What I really do believe is Kevin Durant's own version of basketball happiness is being able to dominate teams with quiet 28-point nights where you're only taking 13 shots, but you're hitting 11 of them, and you're just the most efficient thing on the basketball court we could come up with. That's what I think gets Kevin Durant off when he fantasizes about the player he wants to be on a franchise. He's going to find it harder and harder to consider leaving the closer he gets to the, well, it might be time to leave now, Kevin. How are you going to walk away from a team right when you're winning another NBA Finals, which I believe is going to happen? But talking about LeBron James, Kevin Durant basically said, look, if you're Kyle Korver, then yeah, you go play with LeBron James because you're not really a number one option. But you are a shooter, and playing next to a guy who is a ball-dominant talent like that is going to open up shots for you to be all kinds of shooter, and you're going to get great looks, Kyle Korver, better looks playing next to a guy like LeBron James than you would not playing next to LeBron James and having to create on your own. That's not going to happen if you're Kyle Korver. By the way, crazy shade at Kyle Korver here. Just destroyed Korver. But he's not wrong. He's absolutely right when he says these things. He says, now, if you're a younger player like Kawhi Leonard, you try to pair with LeBron James, that really doesn't make sense. Kawhi enjoys having the ball in his hands, controlling the offense, dictating tempo with his post-ups. It's how he plays the game. It's very similar to how LeBron James plays the game. A lot of young players are now developing those skills, and they don't need to be the other guy. And there is nobody in the NBA who isn't instantly the other guy the minute you're on LeBron James's team.
When you're adapting to him off on the court and off the court and what comes with being on a team with LeBron. I mean, there's so much to it. It's his team, always.
And not only is it his team, Gianna, on the court, but it's his topic that dominates everything you do off the court. No one's ever going to ask you about your game ever again if you're player B. The only question is going to be, what's it like to play with LeBron every night?
Right.
If you are a young player in back of the first round, top of the second round, looking to develop, yes, you want to play next to LeBron James. You want to move into his house. You want to absorb everything like a sponge. If you're a rookie and you got a shoe deal before you even were drafted, I don't know if you're looking to play with LeBron James. In the world of marketing and attention, meaning dollars and accolades now like never before, Generation Instagram doesn't want to share an Instagram account. Doesn't. I want my own Facebook page.
Yeah, all eyes on me. I mean, that's kind of how they think about it.
Yeah.
And it's the path you want to take. Like, you know, Kevin Durant, he's an alpha.
And Durant, well, is he, though? I mean, that's the thing. I don't really know if there are nights where he, without a doubt, is. There are nights where he, without a doubt, isn't. I think Kevin Durant likes to look at the concept of alpha scorer, beta scorer, primary scorer, complementary scorer. I think Durant likes to pick and choose his moments where a real alpha never picks the lesser moment, never picks to defer.
So you think KD does because...
Michael Jordan never had a single night of his career where he was like, Scotty, you got it. I'll play off you tonight. Never once.
I mean, depending on, I mean, it's Warriors, I think, are unique, though, because he gets to be with Steph Curry, which makes the difference.
And Steph Curry is the most egoless, generous, easy to share time with. Everything that LeBron James isn't on and off the court, Steph Curry, he doesn't need to be ball dominant to be dominating the ball. He doesn't need to be the center of attention every single time any team is paying it. Anyone's paying attention to the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry would gladly defer you ask for a 30-minute sit-down with Kevon Looney than a 30-minute sit-down with Steph Curry. Curry is much more attention, much more focused on spreading the attention than glomming it all for himself. And I'm not even saying that LeBron demands all the attention for himself, but it just comes that way.
That's with who he is, yeah.
And Kevin Durant had some very interesting things to say about that. Those things got back to LeBron, and we'll hear what LeBron had to say about all that next here on 95.7 The Game. And it's the sound I'm not interested in playing for you today. We will have that for you as well here on The Dame and Bruce Show.
Today on The Game. The pregame show, 5 to 6.
It's J.R. Smith with the craziest play I've ever seen in a playoff basketball game. Not knowing the score, for God's sakes.
Mornings with Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
What about Wakanda or Pandora? Because those places are just as likely to have a team as Seattle.
I disagree with that notion.
And that's why.
It's wildly out of line.
Steinmetz and Guru, 10 to noon.
Durant said, LeBron has so many fanboys in the media.
Damn.
You know what I thought? Whoa. You know what my first thought?
Give it to him. You. No.
So does Steph Curry.
Papa and Bonte, noon to 3.
Please stop that. But Dominique is the most overrated player in the history of the NBA. Kevin Durant is the most underrated player.
And Damon Bruce from 3 to 7.
Going to Cleveland ain't quite what it used to be. And let's face it, when a talent that big is no longer involved, it changes things. I mean, when Kevin Love isn't there, it changes. Oh, I think it's LeBron James.
Listen all day, every day to 95.7. The Game. Now, back to the Dame and Bruce Show, live from the Christmas Tree Lot on 95.7 The Game.
Look at that, a little production served up here for the Tree Lot remote. I do appreciate that. Thanks to everyone back at the studio for making it happen. Thanks so much to everyone who is down here at the Guardsman Tree Lot making it happen. So appreciate the volunteer army of guardsmen that I'm proud to be a part of. We sell these Christmas trees. We raise money for Bay Area at-risk youth. We send thousands of kids to summer camp. We send hundreds of kids to private school for the completion of their education throughout the entirety of their education. It is a wonderful, locally grown, locally owned charity that is distinctly unique to San Francisco. It is wonderful to be part of this. Great to be back down here at the Tree Lot. If you are looking to make sure that your holiday is as full as holiday cheer, but you're ringing, by the way, as full as holiday cheer as possible, come on down to the Guardsman Tree Lot, because we got everything you need, from the tree to the garland to the wreath to the tree topper to the ornaments. To the lights to the everything you would need, and not to mention the winter wonderland that the Tree Lot will certainly look like tomorrow when we get 1,400 brand new, freshly cut trees from our tree farm up in Oregon to just restock this tree lot, which normally has anywhere between 1,000 and 2,000 trees for you to choose from. We're down to about 300.
And that's a great sign. It just shows that people are needing their Christmas trees, and wanting to come support the Guardsmen, and what a great place to get it. I have a question, though. Will you guys sell out of all those trees?
We will sell so many trees that on the final day, we will basically, we have about four or five Bay Area charities that we do an Ollie Ollie Oxen Free. Whatever trees we have not sold, we then give away to families in need, charities
awesome.
In need, making sure that, you know, you don't wake up on Christmas morning without a tree to go peek
that's
under.
That's very cool.
Yeah,
very
so that's
cool.
What we do at the end of the... And not a single tree goes to waste.
That's very cool.
Not a single tree goes to waste, which is kind of a theme in San Francisco for a lot of people. We are very careful with our trees
yes, we
here
are.
In this town.
Very efficient with our trees.
I heard Matt Steinmetz talking about fanboys in the media. And, of course, he's like, you know, Curry's got a lot of them, too. And he is right about that. Steph Curry has sycophants covering him. But really, if you want access to great players, you got to show up and you got to kiss a lot of rear ends and rings. And that's just the way these guys are used to being handled. And if you're not willing to do that, you're probably not going to get the inside information that, you know, it has happened. Like, remember when Kevin Durant was sitting down and talking to Chris Haynes, who broke to him that, like, oh, man, you just got fined for swearing at the fan in Atlanta? Like, Chris Haynes obviously went out to craft a relationship with Kevin Durant that I'm not going to describe as fanboy, but he's willing to take that relationship to a personal level to open up doors and access that, unless you do that, you don't get
you
the access.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have. So there is a professional way to do it. There is an unprofessional way to do it. And I think that there are a lot of people doing it the unprofessional way because nobody is properly trained and vetted to be in the media anymore. It's like, oh, do you have electricity? Do you have the internet? Oh, sure. You're in the media.
It's all bloggers. Maybe
and they're
not all bloggers.
Not all, but yeah. A lot. And a lot of people take that blogging aspect with them to, okay, well, you actually got hired by a reputable thing. Well, don't just cover the news anymore. It's got to be scandalous. It's got to be salacious. Like, Kevin Durant talking about basketball doesn't move the needle at all. You could do Kevin Durant going over an X's and O's film session, telling you everything that he sees on a court before he even touches the ball, and it would get mild to tepid interest at most. Kevin Durant throws shade at LeBron James and the toxic environment around him. Ding, 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 ding. I mean, it's all the Bleacher Report wants. It's all media wants.
Clickbait.
Durant said there is a suffocating media attention around LeBron James that isn't helping the situation of players wanting to go play with him. Durant said, and I quote, "So much hype comes from being around LeBron James from other people. He has so many fanboys in the media. Even the beat writers just fawn over him. I'm like, we're playing basketball here, and it's not even about that at certain points. So I get why anyone wouldn't want to be in that environment because it's toxic." This got back to LeBron James. I'm sure a fanboy carried the message right back to him for his reaction as quickly as possible. And you know what? We did have some tape rolling on that. Here is what LeBron James said.
LeBron's Kevin Durant said that the media attention around him creates an environment that is toxic. Did you see those comments?
I did not. I believe that's probably not the whole quote, so I'm not going to comment on that. I would love to see the whole transcript of what was asked of him, the context that was asked of him, why it was asked, and the whole thing. So I'm not going to comment on it because I'm not knowledge. I don't know the whole thing. That would be stupid upon my part. I'm a veteran.
You know what? Savvy answer from a veteran, the correct answer, but also very revealing. Whether he wanted to be truthful or not, the main reason why he didn't answer that wasn't to give Kevin Durant the wide berth and the space to have a little context attached to the quote. The reason why LeBron didn't really answer that is because he understands that he exists in a toxic media environment that is going to distort what he says for their own personal agendas, no matter what he says, so he ain't even willing to do the dance anymore. So basically, with his "I don't want to comment right now," he just agreed with everything Kevin Durant laid out in his criticism to begin with. See, it all fits together like a puzzle.
It does.
It all fits together like a puzzle.
But he knows it. He lives it.
It really does. No, there's no doubt. That guy lives it every single day. And it's not easy to be. Look, I can't even imagine the pressure that would come with. Look. How hard do you think it is to go out there and actually play an NBA game? Like, even if you're a great athlete, that's still a tough endeavor. It's a lot harder than just talking sports. I can't even imagine how frustrated I would be if at the end of every single one of my shows, four total dorks who couldn't get laid in a whorehouse had to come in and ask me about, hey, Damon, what kind of show did you think you did tonight? What do you think that you are going to go ahead and do when you get home tonight? Can you tell us about Gianna's performance? Do you think Gianna was on her game tonight? What about Albie? Did he produce it well tonight? Like, all you're looking for isn't for compliments.
And I'm sure it's frustrating, but they are handsomely paid, Damon. They are handsomely paid for that.
They are, but you can be handsomely paid for anything, and eventually something wears on you. Nonsensical questions that you feel are coming from a great many unqualified people? I couldn't go a week.
No.
I couldn't go 5 days with that happening. By Thursday, I'd be like, everybody out, no more press conference.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd last 2 days with that.
That's why I said I'd be done by Thursday.
Yeah, you'd be done by Thursday, for
Monday,
sure.
Monday would be the seed planted of Damon doesn't like it. Tuesday, that seed would germinate into an actual complaint. Wednesday, my agent gets involved. By Thursday, I'm a diva.
You're like, that's it.
Persona non grata. No, but I really can't even imagine how difficult it must be to have the world asking you questions, praying that you just trip over this once, that all you need to do, you don't even need to say the wrong thing. If you just don't lay the right thing down perfectly, we'll go with that too.
Yeah, even your inflection, how you present your sentence might be, you know, picked apart. What did he really mean by that uptick?
Totally. Shout out Morning Show.
Joe Lo and Dibs.
There you
six
go.
6 to 10.
Enjoy it, folks. Enjoy it. That's cross promotion. That's synergy, people. 888-957-9570. Here's a little synergy for you. If you miss Steve Kerr, I'd normally say, well, you made a mistake, you blew it, and there's no going back from something that is big a mistake that you can make in your life. But we have Steve Kerr, and we are going to have him for you coming up next, as a matter of fact. Steve joined us earlier today. He was phenomenal. We asked him about what it's like to exist now in the NBA, and the question is so nuanced, I actually gave Steve a homework assignment.
You did.
He needs to think about it for a week. A question that I just scratched the surface of but didn't really get to the answer of is, what is harder? What has changed more in the last 10 years? The way the game is played and coached, or the way the game is covered? And he was like, man, all right, I need to think about that one for a while.
It's tough.
And I'll tell you, the game right now has evolved so dramatically as just an look, Steph Curry will shoot more threes tomorrow in Milwaukee than I bet you Larry Bird did in any week of his entire career. Okay, maybe 1 week, like where Danny Ainge was hurt and they needed somebody to really put up like four threes tonight. Larry Bird shot four threes tonight. It's probably too many. That's the NBA world we used to live in. Larry Bird didn't have a green light from three. Cleveland's rookie had a green light last night. Colin Sexton was like, I'm in. I'm going. Everybody's got a green light to just yak it up from anywhere these days. That is a massive difference. The pace, the shot clock changes, all of it, the hand checking, the game has so dramatically changed in just the last 10 years that I saw that it feels like that has to be the answer. Social media has to almost by definition be bigger than any other change we've seen in our life. Social media is such a big change. It changed the way our democracy is run. It changed the way people get along or don't get along with family members. You remember, you used to have an uncle who you had a political disagreement with.
Right.
But come Christmas, you never brought it up. It was just Uncle Mike, and everybody liked Uncle Mike, even though he was a little nutsy one way or the other. But he's still your uncle, and that's all that matters. Now, people are so up in everybody's own personal opinions about things that used to be, well, you don't talk about that in polite company, that it defines the relationships that we have, not only just like our social media relationships, but it tears families apart. It tears NBA teams apart. A couple weeks ago, when we asked Steve Kerr about, you know, the changing landscape that he functions in now, he basically said, look, if you wanted to avoid a negative story about you back in my day, you didn't pick up the morning paper. That was it. by lunch, it was over.
Well, today that's totally different. I mean, it's everywhere. Phone, iPads, computers, people talk. I mean, it's just inundated with it.
The only thing that takes news off the shelf is more news. There used to be an element of fans, even diehard fans, that would eventually reach some particular topic about their team and just be like, you know what? I don't care. I don't care who the seventh round pick is. I don't care. That guy's probably not going to make the team. I'm not going to care. There is somebody who's so breathlessly holding their breath for that seventh round pick and will then evaluate the GM totally whether or not that guy is a boom or a bust. I mean, it is amazing the attention that we pay now. The amount of, I don't want to say unqualified, but the amount of unnuanced opinions that are trying to offer nuance in a sports subject now, it's rampant. It's absolutely everywhere. And I guess it perfectly leads us into our next subject. And our next topic is the sound that I didn't want to play for you today, because I really didn't want to go down this path, but it's a path that was opened up again because it is a media tour that now Alyssa Ennis finds herself on. She was on Good Morning America. This is the same woman who reversed her testimony about Reuben Foster in Santa Clara when asked about whether or not there was a dust-up between the two. She originally said there was. She recanted it all. Obviously, we have a second round of do-si-do between these two, which led to Reuben Foster getting cut. Well, now Alyssa Ennis, look, and I'm not here to judge. I'm not going to tell you what I think, but why are you on Good Morning America is a question I would have. It feels like there is some sort of looking to up her Q factor, her monetary ability. I don't know. It didn't feel as much like a message about domestic violence as it just did. I don't know. The whole thing felt like it was set up by like an agent for her or a lawyer for her. Forget about what I have to say about it. Here is Alyssa Ennis admitting that she lied about this whole thing originally on Good Morning America.
Reuben threw my clothes out the balcony. He threw my stuff out the house. He dragged me down the stairs 2-3 times. He punched me in my face 2-3 times, pulled me by my hair, kicked me, spit on me.
And then you go to court, and then you recant your story.
Yes, ma'am.
And why'd you do that?
Because I loved him. And love will have you doing things that's not in your best interest because of the person you love.
She told authorities she fabricated the story as part of a money scheme.
There were some previous allegations that you referred to as a money scheme, I guess, to extort money. Were you not telling the truth at that point?
I was not telling the truth.
By the way, this is when we talk about the importance of reputations. And you are your reputation. And her reputation isn't my opinion. It is proven in court testimony that you can go down and read that she is a liar. She lied after putting her hand on the Bible. Her reasons for doing so, although rooted in the psychological warfare that must be domestic violence, it doesn't matter. You're a liar. You went into court and proved beyond any reasonable shadow of the doubt that you will lie to serve the moment. And if you will lie to serve the moment in a moment that is as serious as, okay, you're on the witness stand, then you could be lying about anything. And it's the boy who cried wolf.
I mean, I can see how that would be perceived, but I mean, we don't know how she felt in that moment. Maybe she was afraid of the consequences and what would happen next. I mean, we all do crazy things when we're in love. I get that. But the fact that she's going public, I see it a little differently, that she's actually telling us that she lied. She didn't tell the truth. I mean, she committed perjury. She's recanting her recant. So now that we know that, she knows the consequences in that. So maybe she feels like she needs to have a turn to share her voice, get that out there, because what clearly went down months ago is not really what happened.
Well, she was talking about what went down months ago there. Then the questioning turned to what happened in Tampa, and here's what she told Good Morning America.
He invited me to come see him in Florida, and I came, and he took one of my phones And he slapped me and pushed me. Told him that I was going to tell his new girlfriend that he paid for my flight out there. So that's what triggered it.
So she admits to being triggered by the concept of a new girlfriend there. Why are you showing up?
Well, like, look,
the only thing I know, and that's why I'm calling this the sound that I didn't want to play for you today, is Albie called me this morning and he's like, did you hear this Alyssa Ennis sound? And I said, yes, of course I did. You know, I've got the internet. I've been watching TV today. I've seen it. He's like, well, what do you want to do with it? And I said, well, not much, because here's the deal. I don't know who to believe. I don't know what to believe. I think he's an idiot. I think she's a liar. And this is now a problem for a Washington, D.C. sports talk host.
Yeah, no longer the Niners.
Like, seriously. Like, that is the beauty of the decision to cut this jackass, because you don't have to deal with either of these people anymore and their love or their unrequited love or their painful love or their this, that, the other thing. Here's the deal. The only relationship I got time for is mine. Okay, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in the smarmy, nasty, ugly details of your relationship. You want equality in 2018? Leave the room when you're being abused. Period. Period. No more of this, but I love him. No. No. Stop it. Grow up. Smell the domestic violence that is brewing. And please act accordingly. The next decision you make should be the most important decision of your life.
Well, I think we should say this about domestic violence. If you're in that situation, you know, get help. I know, obviously, I've never been in that situation, thank God. So I can't, you know, speak for every girl out there, every person there. But, you know that there is help out there and that there are people willing to, you know, do a lot for you to get you out of that volatile, toxic, scary, abusive situation.
And
so know that you have a chance and options.
Of course you do. There are people waiting to help. All the time. The person who's definitely not going to help you is the guy who is just smashing your phone and slapping you around and flying you in to parade his new girlfriend past you. Like, that is someone you need to avoid. And if you need a lawyer and a court order and a recant and Good Morning America to figure that all out, you weren't the brightest bulb to begin with.
It's a tough situation. I think I will say this. The Niners made the best decision by cutting Reuben Foster.
Hell yeah, 100%. They did. That getting these two people as far away from your franchise is maybe the best thing that has happened to the franchise this year. Because you can tell. The only thing I can promise you about Alyssa Ennis and Reuben Foster is this ain't the last we heard of them.
Probably not.
These two lovebirds are definitely nesting. And I'm glad it's not our problem anymore. If you are being, look, it happens to men too, but at a much smaller scale than what happens to women. Ladies, leave his ass. Leave. Go. There's no fireplace that keeps you warm. There's no bed comfortable enough. There's no zip code posh enough for you to stay in an abusive relationship where somebody just disrespects your personal safety. To me, it's such a non-starter that I can't believe that there'd be any, like, well, and I was put through mental hula hoops for this whole thing. To me, first inkling, it'd be see ya.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's just me.
I know, and I wish it was that easy for people in this situation. Obviously, it's more complicated. But, yeah, I mean, know that there is help out there. You do have a chance. There is. It's a very complicated situation. She lied. He lied. Ugh, it's a mess. It's a mess.
And sadly, I think, you know, people who are a little kinder and gentler might be a little easier to trap in a situation like this, which is why I highly recommend to all of you just being a little bit of a jackass. Just a little bit. Just like your friend, Damon Bruce. You don't want to be a total jackass. Just a little bit of a jackass. It helps keep you frosty. It helps keep you alert. Like, everyone, remember when someone was like saying, well, there are no a-holes in media anymore. No wonder why media is going to hell. You need an a-hole in the media because he's the person or she's the person who's not afraid to ruffle feathers. And you got to ruffle feathers if you're going to do this well, or you're a fanboy and people are asking LeBron and Matt Stymans is pissed off and everyone happens.
So there's your advice. Be a little bit of an a-hole.
Be a little bit of a jackass in your life. Not much of one, but just a little teensy-weensy little hard to deal with. It's good.
It's good. It's good. A little bit of it.
It's good for the system. It keeps everybody honest. Steve Kerr, is honestly the best single conversation we have ever had on a weekly basis, and this week, no different than usual. Steve Kerr was a joy. He is in the middle, or at the very end, I should say, of an incredibly interesting road trip. We've seen some of the worst of the Warriors, some of the best of the Warriors, and we're going to talk about all of it when we have the Steve Kerr replay coming up next. We are down at the Guardsman Tree Lot. Come on down. We're open at 9 o'clock tonight here on 95.7 The Game. We're at Fort Mason Festival Pavilion from 9 to 9 a.m. to p.m. Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week between now and next Saturday morning. Come on down to the Tree Lot here in San Francisco.